Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
First word, you come here once again to study the word of God on Sunday. And basically on the first word, what we do is we study the Proverbs to get wiser then. And each Sunday what we do is we basically correspond each proverb with the day that the Sunday falls on. So it being May 1st, 2016, we are going to be studying the book of Proverbs 1, chapter 1. And I'm going to start out with a word of prayer, and I'm going to turn it over to the host, Jamal Harris. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for getting us all here safe, free. Once again, to the first word, I pray that you just keep us all and that we learn something today from this proverb that we didn't know before. I pray that you just keep us and help us get through another week and bring us back here again. And pray that we all have a marvelous Sunday. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. All right, Minister Jamal, you there?
Amen, amen. Good morning, fellas. It's the first of the month. So just like Brother Anthony said, corresponding with the day, so being that it's the first, we will study Proverbs 1. And this is right here. This is a great proverb. I like to start at at verse, let's say, number 2. Well, let's just go through it. It says, the first verse says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Verse 2 says, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight. So I think this proverb right here is introducing us to wisdom. Oftentimes in the first word, later down the chapters, it always expresses the wisdom and knowledge and the understanding. So this leads us up into the later Proverbs. Okay, it says verse 3, it says, for receiving instruction and prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. Oftentimes in our lives, we go through certain situations, especially a lot of preachers in the church, we go through certain things that when people are attacking us, it's all fine and dandy, but as soon as we go at the world like the world, then that's the problem. So this proverb right here is getting us ready and getting us prepared for the things to come. Verse number 4 says, "For giving prudence to, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and desecration to the young." Verse 5 says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." So I think this is all preparing us into in life and how to go about it as the people of God, because as the people of God, we are constantly under an eye. Everybody's always constantly watching us. It doesn't matter how many times the people treat us unfairly as God's people, but it's about that one time when we jump out of line and try to give them the same treatment that they gave us. So we have to learn and understand that all that we're going through is a purpose for it, and it's easy for us to fight fire with fire, but then there's no reason to fight fire with fire. So far, can any men chime in on that?
I'm gonna go ahead and say that you're on the right track. I definitely believe what you're saying. It is difficult. But like the verse says in verse 2, it says discipline. So it takes, it takes time for you to get that discipline for you not to react that way. So that's what I have to say. All lines are open for other men to chime in on this. Any other men on the line?
Okay, then we're going to keep it right on going. I want to jump to verse 7. Verse 7 is very key to our walk with Christ. And verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." See, so what it's telling us in this verse is that enable for us to gain knowledge, or even to begin having a little bit of knowledge, we have to fear the Lord. And it says, "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." See, a fool always has a comeback. See, a fool always say, "Oh, well, we telling you, man, don't do this way, don't do that way." A fool always has something to say. "Well, man, nah, I'm good out here. I'm not, I ain't worried about nothing. This, that, and the fourth and the other." So, if somebody ever asks us, how do we get the knowledge? How do we start obtaining knowledge? Well, all we have to tell them is that you have to fear the Lord, because in verse 7 it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And you want to know how you can separate a wise man from a fool? Always listen to what they say. When somebody's trying to help them out, when somebody's trying to give them a better route than what they're taking, if they always have something to say, if they always have then they're a fool. What you think about that, fella? Brother Avery?
Yeah, I definitely think that what you're saying is key, because just like in any situation, when you give the person that respect, or when you give respect, is given back to you, and after that, you guys can be on the same page, and you can agree with it. So, like in a lot of work that I do, where there's so much that's going on, and per se, I'm doing an electrical outlet or something, you have to learn how to respect that first, because if you don't, you wind up touching the wrong thing, you wind up, going the wrong place with it, and then you can hurt yourself and somebody else potentially. So definitely respecting and fearing God in this sense is key.
I like that. I like the comment that you said, because you'll hurt yourself, and not just that you'll hurt yourself, but you'll hurt the other people around. Because God has chosen us, we have to be careful and be mindful of that we are at. Because if somebody, a wise man once told me, "Never let your good be evil spoken of." It was a picture of Martin Luther King with a cigarette, and if people would have saw Martin Luther King smoking a cigarette, he would have lost his following. A preacher was talking on the radio, and he said that my father had to catch two planes to Paris. to smoke a cigarette because of his calling, because that he is set out for the chosen few. So in our lives, we... getting this much, I'm just this way. Have to understand that we're under constant watch. And it's not about how many times you held your peace. It's not about how many times that you took in the low road. It's not about how many times that you just turned the other cheek. It's about that one time that you jump back at the person that jumps in your face. So we have to be wise, and we have to show that we have the knowledge, and that we fear the Lord, and people will know that once you fear the Lord, that everything will start to fall in place. So let's go to verse 8. It says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. For they are a garland to the grace of your head and a chain to adorn your neck." So I believe that these two verses are telling us that listen to our parents. Oftentimes, me and Brother Anthony being same, is that when our fathers is telling us something, that road before, they've been through that route before. They've had the doors, they had the because they so our fathers and the teachings that our mother had. See, our mothers, they give us a different teaching. They try to show you the value of mm-hmm. life. The value of a woman, how to treat a woman, how not to treat a woman. So what it's saying is that we have to listen to these things. We have to take heed to these things. It says, do not forsake your mother's teaching. Listen to your father's instructions, because they lived a little longer than us. So they've been things than we've been through. We're not even old enough to have gone through the certain situations that they have been through. So, and oftentimes we have to sit back, check ourselves, and listen to the teacher. What you think about that, Brother Andrew?
Definitely think that's right. Exactly as you said, listening to their teachers and your mother's instructions, and also your father's corrections. So it's like definitely with age. Knowledge does come, and like you said, they know more than us. Like on the Bible study line, the way they call it, nothing new under the sun. There's nothing really new that's changed in the world, except for the way we have it, different styles and everything. Like with shoes and stuff, as they call it, retro. Everything's retro now. So it's the same concepts, it's the same teachings and learnings and that everybody else is learning. But for us, it's been retroed into different type of style, per se. So for us, the way that they're saying it might be different, but in the same sense, it's the exact same thing. So when we realize what they're saying to us, I feel like we should definitely take heed to what they're saying. And, you know, like you said, check ourselves first, because potentially we might, like I said earlier, hurt ourselves. And sometimes you got to go through to understand, and sometimes us being men, we are definitely hard-headed. We don't like to listen to anybody, pride, and to know everything, we be like, nah, but sometimes you got to fall, and you got to get hurt sometimes in order to learn your lesson. It's the same way, like, you know, everybody talks about the stove lesson. Don't touch the stove is hot. What do? You go touch the stove. Now you know the stove is hot, so you never going to touch it again. So it's like, you know, once you get burnt that one time, you definitely find out and you definitely learn. But like I said, the wise man definitely takes heed to what they're saying first so that you don't have to get hurt.
Amen, amen. Any other men can chime in?
Good morning, fellas. I think that I like the way that this is worded, where it says, you know, first and foremost, listen to your father's instruction, and then it says, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. And I think it speaks to the importance of the father's role in the life of a son. Now, how you're supposed to speak and tell you, you know, when you think about instructions, an instruction manual is something that tells you how to put something together, how to do something. And so it's like your father is supposed to teach you how you're supposed to walk. But then it also says, do not forsake your mother's teaching, meaning that as a young man, you're supposed to take your mother's experiences into consideration and life lessons that she's able to give you and be able to apply them to yours.
Amen, amen, amen. Any other men can chime in?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I like all three verses. And it says, I like that first one. It says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge. And then when you're young, as all of us young men and young people, especially on the line, are young men today, at any point in age, your first teaching, you know, is through your parents, like in verse 8 says it. Your fathers and your mothers, and they're giving you instructions on how to grow and how to be a man and what not to do. And that's through, like that, what it says, the fear of the Lord. When you're young and you get into trouble, the first thing that really comes out of your mouth is, oh, man, my mom and dad's going to kill me for doing that. You know, and so that was the fear. That was the fear that we had, you know. And as we get older, we lose that fear. We tend to lose it. You know, a lot of people tend to lose that fear, and that's what goes wrong. If you still have that same simple mind frame growing up, like, man, is this the right move? What will my mother say? What will my father say? What will my mother think of me if I did this? What will my father think of me if I did this? You know, what would the Lord think of me if I do this? You know, if a lot of us today keep that simple thought, that simple, simple phrase in your mind, you know, a lot of the things you do, you wouldn't even do, just for the fact of how, you know, they view you or how you make them feel, how you make the Lord feel. You know, a lot of, you know, we lose that at some point in growing up. And it's kind of, I won't say it's understandable, but at a certain point you think, a lot of people start thinking you know more. You know, I know more than my mother. Nobody, you'll never know more than your parents. You'll never know more than the Lord. And as people today, we have to get back to that simple, just that one simple mind, that one simple phrase, that one simple thought. And I think that'll keep a lot of these young men and young people, you know, more on the right path if we just have that thought before we do something.
Amen, amen, amen. Any more men can chime in?
Doesn't look like anybody else is on here. Comment that I can add is, like Mike was saying, you know, think about how other people might view it. I was in his class once, and after the guy was like, you know, what would Jesus do? And you know how they say that and everything. But he was like, what would Jesus think about it with you right there? And then he broke it down to a personal level with everybody. And he was like, what do you think if your grandmother was right there, or if your mother was right there, somebody was sitting right next to you? And then it was like, you wouldn't do it. If in that case, you definitely would get them trouble, or they definitely wouldn't expect you to be doing it. So that's why I just wanted to ask.
Amen, amen. Everybody's giving these great comments this morning. We're going to move on to verse 10. It says, my son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. Verse 11, if they say, come along with us, let's lie and wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. I believe that these two verses, verse 10, definitely speaks to me, because this is a thing that God is still delivering me from, and it's not about really just waiting, like verse 11 says, but when certain people, you know, they walk up in your face, man, you know, we have to stay prayed up. I know in certain situations in my life, I know that when the enticing happened, that I failed for it. Oftentimes, we have to go through a little bit, and that's why it says, do not forsake your mother's teaching. Listen to your father's instructions, because our fathers teach us that everybody that says something out the way to you, everybody that you know, so-called disrespects you, or somebody that's giving out a negative action, it doesn't deserve a reaction. And that's where the fear of the Lord steps in, because then when we start to fear the Lord, that's when we understand that, okay, you know what, this person just bumping their gums, this person's not worth my time. This person is not worth me sitting in jail. This person not worth me going through turmoil just because I want to I want to react to it. So verse 10, it really speaks to me because it's telling us that when they do these things, because they're going to do them, and as children of God, we're supposed to be able to turn away from these things. And I know, especially as men, that's hard when somebody's steadily talking junk and they're obnoxious and they're in your face and things of that nature. It's hard for I think Mike said it a couple Sundays ago. He said the real man walks away. The real man turns around and walks away. So I believe that in time, when we're continuously walking with God, when we're continuously reading the Word, when we're continuously praying and seeking Him, that is when the sinful men that's enticing us, or the people that always like to start mess, and people that always like to get into arguments with one another. When those situations come up, and when we're praying constantly and we're walking with God, I believe that is when we are. I believe that is when we will see the Word God, the fullness thereof. And then verse 11 says, excuse me, that if they say, come along with us, let's line away for innocent blood, let's ambush some harmless soul. Well, we already know that those are wicked people. And so isn't that, and back again, the same verse comes up again when it tells you to listen to your father's instructions. See, your parent knows who is your real friends and who aren't your real friends. So I believe that when we get into when we start hanging around certain companies, and when we bring them around our parents, and they say, look, man, this person is not right for you. This person is not your friend for real. This person is only around because it benefits them. So I believe that these two verses also coincide with the verse, listen to your father's instruction. Because as Reverend Grimes said, just like an instruction manual, it tells you what to do and it tells you what not to do. And if you choose to disregard what that says, then you're going to have a lot of problems with whatever you're trying to build. I know that the last time I moved somebody in the house, we had a bunk bed to set up. And I didn't know how to set no bunk bed up. Didn't nobody around know how to set the bunk bed up. So we looked at the instructions. And this one guy, he said, man, we don't need no instructions. And it took us 2 hours to put those beds together. Rather, if we just opened up the manual and say, okay, well, this is D. So D goes in the here, G goes in the here, and like that. What y'all think about that, fellas?
I think you're making some great points, and I think that, you know, instructions are important, but I also think, you know, that this is a message to fathers, because in order for a son to get instructions from his father, I mean, the father has to be willing to have his business and give those and provide those instructions.
Amen. Anybody else chime in?
I think these verses go directly to a lot of these, you know, speaks to a lot of these young men, and even us today. Like, you know, I know I grew up in a really tough area growing up in New York, and tough areas where I had to make decisions, and these, especially these verses where, you know, where it says, if they say, come along with us. And I had many of friends of mine, many of people who I thought was my friends back then growing up, come up to me and say, yo, we're about to do X, Y, Z. You down for this? You down to do this? You know, and it's that fear. And it was the fear. It was a lot of times it was the fear of what my family would think, or the fear of me getting caught, you know, and possibly going to jail that kept me out of this. But it's so hard when they come up to you, oh, we about to go do this, we about to go do this. And those are the exact words that they say today. Those are exact words. Come along, come on. You know, we're gonna go hide, we're gonna go rob somebody, we're gonna go ambush this dude, we're gonna go do this, and this. You know, and it speaks to these young men that, like they said, it speaks to these fathers today. that you really have to be, you know, out there with your son. You know, you really got to talk with your sons. You really got to be out there, you know, with them. You know, time and the key is important for you to when you're raising your son. Raising your son means you still raise your son. My mother raised me right now. You know, I call my mom when I feel, you know, is this the right decision? Is this, you know, am I doing this right? You know, I'm being raised every day, even though I'm grown as a man, you know, and my kids, I'm going to raise them every day. Even when they grown as grown men, you still, the cycle doesn't stop. And I think as men and fathers, we need to understand that it's a cycle that doesn't stop. Raising your child, your children, and giving knowledge, that's an everyday thing until you leave this earth to be with God in the kingdom of heaven. You know, and people have to understand that, and it's a responsibility. And we got to take that responsibility more on our shoulders as men, as our young men, and giving it to these young men today.
Amen, amen. Brother Anthony, chime in.
I definitely agree with what everybody's been saying. Just it's like Mike was saying about people having different instructions in the cycle. It's like now me being close with my grandfather, I definitely understand like the lessons that my father has told me, and I understand where they came from because they were iterated. Definitely when I talked to my grandfather. So just like Mike saying, you know, the cycle doesn't stop, and after your father learns it from his father, and if that cycle stops, like Jay's saying, if he's not there, if you're not taking the time to do that, that's where, you know, everything is messed up there. So fathers have a key role in their sons' lives, not even sons, but daughters' lives too. They have roles in their lives that need to be, and they definitely need to be there and take it more seriously.
Amen, amen, amen. And so from verse 11 to, let's see, verse 14, it goes on, and the wicked people are still speaking, and it says, let's swallow them alive like the grave and hold like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us. We'll share all of the loot. These verses, because of the risk that you have to take, or the risk that you're taking, some of it, as Mike said, he was, you know, and the fear of going to jail, the fear of getting caught, and the fear. So what the wicked people are trying to do, they're trying to entice you more to tell you that, look, man, we're going to do this, man, and they got PlayStation 4s and Xbox Ones, man. They got money, they got jewelry, they got whatever. We're going to break it down. So this is, they're going to keep enticing you. But verse 15 says, my son. And what I like about this is, my son tells us that, that in the manner that it's talking, I liked it in the manner it's talking. Because they want to rush into evil. So it's very, it goes to back with Reverend Grimes and what Mike is saying, that the fathers have to get the instructions first. They have to understand and comprehend that everybody is not your friend, that everybody that are the best for you. Everybody that smiles in your face don't have the best interest for you. So I believe that these couple of verses are telling us that even though they're gonna offer you all these things, that we'll break down whatever type of profit will come off of. I know times in my life where, you know, I was doing wild things, and even when I was doing the wild things, the God in me, the instructions that were in that were inside of me, the instructions that I took heed to, they still came out. And even though that I was doing wrong and carried along with the doing wrong, I still felt some type of weight. I still felt convicted because I knew better, because I took heed to my father's instructions and I understood them and comprehended them. So even when I was out there doing my thing, doing what wasn't of God, I still felt bad. So I believe that these verses are telling us that as long as when we heed the instructions, and these are the type of instructions that they're talking about, we should not hang around the wrong crowd, because negativity only brings up negativity. And one thing my father told me, even about hanging with a crowd, he says, even if somebody is looking for that one person, if you're with them, they're not going to leave no witnesses. So it's about being at the being around the company that God wants you to be around, being around good people, being around people that are on the same walk that you are on. This walk is hard alone. So when we have somebody to say, look, man, don't do it that way. I've been there. You don't want to do it that way. You're going to have a lot of turmoil in your life. I just had a wise man speak to me a couple of days ago. He said, man, I was where you are. He said, I was ready to go back at people that were coming back at me. He said, but the what's on the other side of the door is what God wants us to have. He said that you're at the door. He said, I've been where you are, and it took me so many years to get back where I am. So I believe that God will put the right people in our lives to show us. And sometimes, excuse me, it's just about the age of disconnect. See, when sons and fathers sit down and the age gap is so heavy, sometimes we just think that as young men that they don't know what they're talking about. They just trying to crap our style. They just don't want us to have fun. So I say that to say that these are the instructions that we have to follow. These are the instructions that, as Reverend Grimes and Mike said, these are instructions as the fathers that they have to get down pat, so they can spread it all on to their kids, spread it on to their kids, and their kids will spread it on to their kids. Like y'all said, it's just a cycle. So I believe that's what these verses are saying. Can I get any brothers to chime in?
Yeah, I agree with you, 100%. You know, you summed it up very well. You know, we just gotta, keep at it. And like it says, you know, don't rush to evil. You know, only at the end of the day, only person, they're hurting themselves, and you're gonna hurt yourself to go out there. And like you said, your heart, even though you were doing wrong, you knew in your heart. Your heart, you were doing wrong, and that's the key. You know, you still, even though you was out there, and you know, a lot of people, sometimes you have to fall, and sometimes you have to unfortunately learn things in a harder path because you didn't take the path that God wanted you. Even then, you knew, you know, what you were doing was wrong, and that's the key. You know, I knew certain things. I knew I was wrong in doing, and that's what, you know, that's the wisdom. That was the wisdom, that was that seed that it was able to grow. And I was able to continue my circle, and I'm able to continue to get back on and continue that cycle. So, you know, I agree with you 100%.
Any comments? Any more comments? Any last words? All right. All hearts and minds are clear. We're going to look to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for the first word, Father God. We just want to thank you, Father God, for all the men that stand dedicated and committed to your word, Father God. We ask you, Father God, that you take this word and hide it in our heart so we may not sin against thee, Father God. We ask you, Father God, through all our situations, all our trials and tribulations, Father God, that you keep us still, Father God, while you're working, Father God. We ask you, Father God, to keep, give us patience, Father God. Give us traveling mercies, Father God. Be in our church services wherever we are, Father God. Father God, we ask you to bless Pastor, Father God. Build him up where he is weak, Father God. Father God, make him strong, Father God. Make the word that he give today, Father God, be sharp as a two-edged sword, Father God. Please bless all the men on the line, Father God. Please, Father God, keep us, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, fellas, until next week, this is the first word.
All right.